and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. There's healing in his word tonight. There's healing in his word. Healing. I pray you let the Lord speak to you this evening and take the walls down, take the brakes off. And like we said this morning, whatever he says to you, do it. Be obedient to him, seek the Lord. I'm as excited to be in church tonight as I've ever been in my life. Looking forward to worshiping the Lord and excited about this service. Glad to have Brother Chris Sims, my dear friend, service tonight. Y'all be in much prayer for him. God to help him and touch him. We need the Lord this evening. We need the Lord. Brother Tim, won't you make your way on up to the platform this evening? I want you to pray. Ask God to help him to serve us. Let's all pray with Brother Tim this evening in our seats, in our place. Ask God to be with us and meet with us. I'm glad you're here. I love you, church. Thank the Lord for his goodness to us, helping us this morning. Looking for him again tonight. Come on, Brother Tim. Pray.
All right, let's pray. Father, tonight we're so grateful that we can call you our Heavenly Father. So grateful, God, to be amongst your people tonight. Grateful, God, to have a desire, Lord, to be out to worship you in spirit and truth. I pray tonight, God, oh God, that your will would be done. In Riverville Baptist Church tonight as it is in heaven, I pray, God, tonight that your people, God, would be refreshed, revived in the Lord tonight. I pray, God, for your servant, Brother Chris. I pray, God, that you fill him, Lord, with the Holy Ghost of God. God, that you'll use him tonight, Lord, to bring us in focus, Lord, upon your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, please, may Jesus have the preeminence here tonight. I pray, God, for the songs that are sung, Lord, that be sung for your glory, for your honor. God, I pray, Heavenly Father, for everything that's said and done, be done in order and be done for you tonight. Oh, God, please, Lord, use this service tonight to glorify yourself. And we'll praise you and thank you because we ask it all in the mighty name of Jesus. For his sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand, page 130.
Free. I'm living in the shadow.
seated. Pray for the choir. Brother Jay asked. So y'all pray.
A river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All my guilt and sin was erased. The chains of my past broken at last, I got saved.
Oh, I got saved. I'm reaping by the mercy of Jesus. I'm amazed by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus. How could I want more?
I've received nothing but goodness. I've tasted and tested his grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved.
I'm redeemed by the mercy of Jesus. I'm amazed by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored.
The love of God. was stronger, that's why I got saved.
I'm redeemed by the mercy of Jesus. I'm amazed by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I got Jesus, how could I want more? I'm redeemed. My chains free.
do this song? Page number 7.
Say, God. tonight. Bless the Lord for his grace. Sister Kaylee, Sister Megan, y'all get ready to sing during the offering tonight. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Thank the Lord for his grace, his spirit. It's wonderful. Amen. Brother Charles, if you would, stand and pray. Ask God to bless the offering in the service, brother. Wherever he's at, right here, brother. Yes, sir. Yes.
Seven kings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
God has been faithful.
abideth faithful, he cannot, will not, shall not deny himself. If he's in you tonight, I promise you, you're going to make it through it. In the authority of the Word of God, his blessed Holy Ghost tonight, you're going to make it through. I thank the Lord that he's been faithful. He is faithful, and he will be faithful. It's who he is. It's his character. It's God. That was the prayer of Christ in John 17. Lord Jesus prayed, Brother Tim, that we would know God and we would know Christ. This is life everlasting. And you want to know something about him tonight? He's faithful. He's faithful. And he wants you to know that. Sister Kaylee's going to sing that last verse. Brother Chris is going to come. You just be obedient to the Lord tonight. Follow him.
This is my
thank God. I appreciate the Lord tonight and his grace, his spirit. Thank the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved, aren't you, church? Appreciate Brother Chris Sims, one of the oldest friends I have on this planet. And Brother Sims was privileged to make his acquaintance some 17 years ago, I believe now 18. And one of my dearest friends in the world. He's been a faithful friend. It's a big honor for me tonight. And church, hear him. Receive him with gladness this evening. And ask the Lord to do something in your heart. You listen to the Lord as the man of God preaches to us tonight. I promise you he wants to speak to you. So you pray for the preacher as he comes. Brother Chris, we're honored to have you, brother.
I love you, my friend. Yes, I appreciate you.
All right, turn with us, please, tonight to the book of Romans. Chapter number 8. Book of Romans, chapter number 8. It's wonderful to be here. I appreciate very humbling tonight the invitation to come and drive up and be with Brother Jay and to be with you. And wonderful singing, and wonderful choir singing, and special singing, and the Lord sure has been faithful to me. And I've not been to him. I can't say I've been as faithful to him as he has me. But thank God for his grace and his mercy upon our life. But I appreciate the church here in this community. For every soul that's saved and every soul he's going to save. And I believe the Lord is going to save, don't you? Amen. That's the sole reason why he's at the right hand of the Father tonight, making intercession for me and you. Amen. Someone says, reckon what the Lord's doing. I know exactly what he's doing. The priesthood office. Amen. You don't want to, a lot of this world don't want to see what he does next. Amen. Thank God. Good to be here. Appreciate Brother Jay. He means the world to me and his wife. Sister Charlie and their baby. When I think of them now, I pray, Lord, save her at an early age before this world and Satan can get a hold of her. And these children around here, there's nothing I long for more than to hear folks being saved. And I long for that call some morning or night that Charlotte has been born again. Amen. You pray for us tonight, Lord, to help us. I'm talking for just a minute, trying to get nervousness off of me. I still feel like the first night I preach every time. All right, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I love the certainty of that verse. Amen. We are the children of God. That's what the Spirit speaks to us. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Brother Darren Shuler, you stand and take us to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help us tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this church, for this dear pastor, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use this place, Lord, and that thy light might shine to the community here. Oh, Lord, I thank you for every soul that's been saved and those that you're going to save, for the presence of thy Spirit, for thy presence here tonight, and all that's been done. Thank you for saving me, Lord, and for calling me to preach. Oh, Lord, I pray that thy anointing be upon us tonight. Thank you for your word, for preserving it, Lord, for this generation. Oh, Lord, that I heard it one night. Thank God I heard your voice when I was in sin. I pray, Lord, that thy voice go forth tonight, that you'd help your people, Lord, encourage them. Draw sinners to you, Lord, I do pray. Oh, Lord, we need you tonight. Help us, Lord, give us faith. Increase our faith, Lord, I do pray. Touch in the meeting. In Jesus' name, I love you. Amen. Amen. Verse number 25 in the end of the text that I read to you said, if we have this hope, then do we with patience wait for it. Patience is not my forte, but God is teaching me to have some. And in the subject matter that we're dealing with tonight, we can have nothing but patience. My son often will show me these videos of things, and I appreciate him. I meant to say something about that drive me tonight. And he'll have a video of something, and it's usually of an embarrassing moment for someone. And he'll start showing it, and of course, I don't have patience, and I'll be looking and say, what is this? He'll say, just wait for it, Dad, just wait for it. And I'll watch, and of course, here in a minute, that moment will happen, and we'll have a laugh at someone else's benefit. And he says, see there, I told you. And I want to tell the church here at Merville tonight that you just need to wait for it.
Amen.
Amen. The best that God has for us is yet to come. The best that God had for us, we've not seen yet. We've only heard about it. We've only read about it. We've dreamed about it, but the best is yet to come. I'm here to tell you tonight, pilgrims, it's worth waiting on. It's worth traveling another mile. It'll be worth waking up tomorrow and fighting another day of battle in this flesh and this life down here on this side. When God reveals His glory in His Son and in His children, amen, I'll promise you, you'll not regret ever starting this journey. You'll not regret a day. You'll not regret a mile that you've traveled for the Lord. And in this context here, that's all centered around the glorification of the saints and the glorification of the Son.
That's right.
It's, you see this analogy of adoption. It took me years to understand why in the midst of this that he talked about the creature and the creation grown and travaileth in pain together now with us, seeing those separate beings there. But I understand now what he was talking about. He's talking about that time delay between when the prospective parents, the prospective father, chooses who his adopted children shall be, and that time frame between when he singles you out and calls you out and pays the price and lets you know that you're going to be one of his until it comes to full fruition. Amen. There be many here tonight that are redeemed. I want you to know that the Lord has done called you. The Lord's done singled you out. He's already cut you out of the herd. He's already paid the price. He's signed the papers. He's elected everyone, thank God, by His will, those that He wants, amen, that He desires. And it's as good as settled, but we're waiting. We're in that time span between here, amen, and when it comes to full fruition, amen. I already know that I'm God's child. You already know that you're God's son or daughter, amen. But we've not yet reaped the full benefits of being one of the children of God.
Yeah.
Amen. The song service was wonderful tonight. The singing was glorious, talking about His mercy and talking about His grace and talking about His love and His faithfulness. Those are all adjectives that stir our heart down here on this side. But we're going to a land where mercy won't be needed anymore. Amen. We're going to a land, thank God, where grace shall end in sight. Amen. Our faith shall end in sight. Hallelujah. We're going to a place that's far better than anything we can understand. And all the attributes of God that's been bestowed upon us, all the helps that we've needed just to make it through this God-forsaken world, will not need those anymore. But thank God, there'll be a new era, a new day, a dawning of a rising, amen, where we'll see a side of God that we can only imagine, a side of God that we can only dream about. I'm here to tell you tonight, church, just wait for it. Amen. From this context tonight, undoubtedly, what Paul understood about adoption, that the most important, the most desired, the most sacred attribute of adoption is the inheritance. Amen. Undoubtedly, the thing that must bring joy and elation to the heart of the adopted child. And I thought about this, it just makes sense to me. Just imagine being a stranger. Just imagine not having a home. Just imagine not having anything to look forward to. Just imagine not having any kind of hope. Just imagine, friends of mine, not having a bed to lay in. Just imagine not to have a mother's comfort and a father's embrace in the time of need. But then dream about that and see others as I did when I was lost. Let's see others find the comfort of a father, the comfort of the Lord. But then one day that you never thought would happen, one day that you never thought may come to fruition for you, all of a sudden the Father of all fathers comes through and looks down through a band of misfits, of folks who used to be harlots, whores, whoremongers, a drunkards, dope heads, a kids that was raised in church singing a choir but did not know the Lord. But he looks down in the time of the adoption hour and doesn't say, I want one and I want this one, but looks at the whole mass and said, I'll take every one of them. That's what the Lord said when he went to the cross. That's what the Father said when he went to Calvary. Amen. He said, I look down through the world and I'll take every one of them. I'll pay the price. Amen. That they might be free. Amen. Then the change that takes place in the heart and mind and the soul, to know that now you had no father, but now you have hope of a father. Amen. You have no dwelling place, but boy, what a dwelling place it must shall be. Amen. When the Lord talked, if I go to prepare a place for you, that there where I am, there you may be also. One old sainted lady, she'd testify about that scripture time to time. And she says, as long as I've been waiting on the Lord to come get me, knowing that he's preparing something during this time, she says, it must be some more place, amen, that the Lord's got for me and you, amen. Oh, but friend of mine, I need you to think deeper for a moment. I'm not just talking about walls of jasper. I'm not just talking about gates of pearl. I'm not talking about a crystal river. I'm not talking about streets of gold, but I'm talking about laying this old flesh aside. I'm talking about mortality being swallowed up in immortality, amen. I'm talking about death being swallowed up in sweet victory tonight. Oh, just wait for it. I can hardly wait. Amen. I can't wait till the Lord comes and takes his children home. Oh, the adoption is the inheritance, to know what we got waiting on us. The truth of the matter is we only have a glimpse. We look through a glass darkly. You say, I've heard many saints in a wonderful worship environment during the shouting and the running of the aisles say, this what must be what heaven's going to be like, old friend of mine. It pales, my friend, in comparison to glorification of the saints. There's never been a meeting that I've been in. Amen. There's never been a time from the pulpit. There's never been an experience, and I've had experiences with God, amen, that even comes close to what I'm preaching to you about tonight. Amen. We hope sometimes for a good service at Murrayville and at the old center where I'm at Hebron, where Brother Darren's at. Amen. But I want you to know, friend of mine, that those services, the best we can enjoy on this side, is only just a slight glimpse and a slight taste of what the Lord has in store for his children. Oh, hallelujah to his name. Amen. And he says, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Right. I love the absoluteness there. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We were the fatherless, but now we cry, Abba, Abba, Abba. Thank God, knowing who our Father is. Amen. I don't know a lot about glory, but I know who my Father is, don't you? Amen. I knew who my earthly father was. Many of you, some of you may not have, but thank God, if you're saved and born again tonight, you know who your heavenly Father is. He made sure we knew it by the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. The indwelling of the Holy Ghost, which speaks unto us that we're his children, that he is our Father. I drove 3.5 hours, walked through those doors, not knowing what to expect, hearing of a good place. But as soon as I heard, thank God, the first notes of the choir, all the way to the young lady singing, I felt something stirring on the inside of me. I looked up in the choir loft and I saw hands raised, and I heard
amen and the glory and a hallelujah. I knew then that you must be experiencing what I'm experiencing. Amen. You must be feeling what I'm feeling. I'm not feeling you, but it's him. Amen. As your worship goes up to heaven, and heaven is honored by those that magnify his son, and the Holy Ghost comes down in our heart and lets us know that he's well pleased in our worship of his son tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, that's the earnest of the Father, letting us know that we are his. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a coming. Amen. We can receive the Spirit. I tell old Slewfoot that about every other day nowadays. Amen. Every time you turn on the news, you turn on the radio. Amen. All anybody wants you to do is hate or fear somebody else. Fear the blacks. Blacks fear the white. Fear the Democrats. You fear the Republicans. Amen. Fear Biden. You fear Trump. Fear Russia. Amen. Fear Hezbollah. I want to tell you something, friend of mine. I don't fear anybody. I don't fear, thank God, things present nor things to come, because I read the end of this chapter. They can't nothing separate us from the love of God. Amen. God us has us so equipped that when I go to bed at night, when I finally make it home, that when the prayer stops and the preaching, my friend, ends, that the Holy Ghost with groanings and utterances not worthy to be uttered are going to be going to that throne of grace, amen, where he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and you. It's hard to mess something up like that. Thank God that the Lord's got us equipped. You don't even know how to pray anyhow. You don't even know what you ought to pray for. But that Holy Spirit that says he's your Father, amen, lets Daddy know what you and I need. I'm trying to get through it, Brother Jay. I know you moved back an hour, and I apologize, and supper will be waiting. But I'm stirred up tonight knowing what's on the inside. Hey, it's a reality tonight of what's on the inside. Do you feel him tonight, child of God? If you don't feel him, you can feel him. If you don't know him, you can know him. Amen. I want to tell you everything that's going on around here now, and in my heart is just a glimpse of what's coming later on. Amen. But I'm here to tell you I'm going to wait for it. But we'll not pass our sojourning here in fear. Amen. I don't fear death. I don't fear heart attack. I don't fear cancer. Amen. I've come to grips with that a long time ago. That's all I've ever known in my life. Amen. Is lost. But I want to tell you something. I fear nothing except for him, because his Spirit brings comfort to my soul. Amen. And if children, then heirs. This next statement, this next phrase gets me. Then heirs. Amen. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we may be also glorified. This last word makes me want to run all over this church tonight, that we may be glorified together. What I'm preaching to you tonight is something that God has reserved for his son. Amen. And I don't understand it. I won't ever understand it, knowing who I was before he saved me, knowing the life that I live. Some of you think about it, please. Who you were before he saved you, the life that you lived before you knew him. But to know that one day there's going to be a glorification of Christ. But God will not glorify Christ and his church separate. Oh no, that ain't what it reads, amen. But God is going to glorify his son and his children and his heirs all at the same time. We're all getting the same treatment, friend of mine. It ain't one table for Christ and the rest for his bride, but we'll all be sitting at the same table, amen. I understand Christ, who died on the cross to fulfill the will of God. I understand why he would glorify him, but why is he putting me and you in that scene? Why is he putting us, thank God, in that equation? But it ain't got nothing to do with what you've done. It's who you believe in. Amen. It ain't got nothing to do with what you earn. It's got everything in what he earned for you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We were buried with him. Hallelujah. In baptism, resurrected unto the newness of life. We're partakers of the cross of Christ and the glorious liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days when he comes to abolish death, thank God, we'll go and we'll be glorified with him. the best is yet to come. You say, Brother Sims, what's that going to be like? I don't know. That's where the scripture stops. That's why we got to wait for it. Amen. That's why we got to wait for it. I'm getting a little taste of that honey tonight. And it's just enough to drive me crazy.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's what the Apostle Paul alluded to in Philippians.
Yes, sir.
He was possessed. When you read Philippians chapter number 3, it's a man that is possessed.
Yes, sir. That's right.
There's something haunting him. But it's not like a Halloween haunting. Oh, no. There's a little taste that God has given him. As a matter of fact, you say, why would you use extreme adjectives? Well, Paul did. He says, I've been apprehended.
Yes.
Amen. He says, I've been arrested.
Yes.
And he says, I'm wanting to lay hold on what's lay hold on me. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. He said, I traded all my earthly credentials and put them in the dung pit that I may win Christ, yea, that I may know him.
Yes.
Amen. Through the power of his resurrection, through the fellowship of his sufferings, been made conformable unto his death. Amen. He wanted that knowledge. He wanted that perfection. He wanted that glorification to be made like unto Christ. And it possessed him. And I'm persuaded to believe that you and I want the same. But you just get a little taste. Amen. The scripture goes on and talks about the creature and creation groaning and travailing in pain together with us. Oh, the horrors of sin.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, the sinfulness of Adam.
Yeah.
You remember in Genesis when God saw the wickedness of man, he had not only corrupted himself, but he said, I'm going to destroy both man and the earth. Man had corrupted God's creation. Man had corrupted earth. Amen.
Yes,
there's nothing about this. See, Brother Jay, you can prove it pretty simple. That thought line there in the Garden of Eden there, there were no briars and there were no thorns at the beginning. There were no storm clouds. There were no hurricanes. There was no need of them. There wasn't even need of rain because God would cause that dew to come up and water his ground. But that all stopped when Adam sinned. That all stopped when sin entered into the world. God then not only cursed Adam and cursed Eve, but he cursed the ground.
Yes,
amen. He cursed the serpent. Amen. He cursed man twofold. He cursed the woman twofold there, and he dealt those curses. But ever since then, creation has wanted to be liberated from the curse that sin brought down through Adam. That's why they long for the glorious liberty of the children of God. What Christ done on the cross, amen, not only will redeem and restore order to Adam and Eve, but it's going to bring order back to all of God's creation. That's why there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, amen. Man has corrupted the earth. The next time a tornado comes through here, you'll say that was because of Adam's sin. The next time you got to mow your yard and the yellow weed and the thistles and the thorns are out there, you can lay that on Adam and his sin, amen. Not to count the millions of gallons of unborn babies' blood that's been pouring upon the soil. Not to talk about the murder and the genocide. I could go on and on and on, but the whole creation groans, amen, for the glorification of the saints, knowing that God is going to bring order again, amen, to all that he has made. Amen. We have a partner in this travail. We see the words groaning in travail. I likened it to my little grandboy. Got me a grandboy. The 15th of this month will be 3. Amen. Heartbreaking how he come in this world. But now it's heartbreaking to see him go down the road and go home. But he loves what he calls donuts. If it's a piece of cake, he calls it a donut. If it's a cookie, he calls it a donut. And what he really likes is honey buns, and he calls them donuts. And his Jennifer buys them, and she's now, as he's beginning to walk, got them up on a shelf. But the other day, we were celebrating his mama's birthday, and we saw the little fella go off. And my wife says, you better hunt him, Sheriff. They don't tell him what he's into. He come out of the pantry. He had got her little step stool. My wife is short and got over there, and he had watched her, I guess. You say, what was he wanting? He was wanting a donut. And he got the step stool over there. And Brother Jay, undoubtedly, he climbed up and got his little hand in him. And he come in there in the kitchen and he had one held up in front of his face, but he hadn't eaten supper yet. You could see every tooth in his mouth. He was just a grinning and said, a donut. Amen. But boy, they got real smart and intelligent. We was trying to light cakes and have a good time. My wife and his mama done the unthinkable and took it away from him. That lip poked out. You want to talk about travailing. You'd have thought he was in pain, amen. You say, why would he carry on such for just a honey bun? Because he liked the taste that he got, amen. I want to tell you something, children of God. God's been dropping us a taste here and there of letting us know what it's going to be like when we lay this body down. I feel pretty good right now, and I almost dread driving home, friend of mine, because I know I'm coming back to this man, this old man in this old flesh, amen, this old wretched man. But thank God for a taste. All God's doing to you and I is making us long and yearn, amen, with groanings, waiting for the liberation from this body of death. Amen. I can't wait. I remember first time I ever shouted. As a Saturday night meeting, I didn't believe in all that. And as a preacher by the name of Brother Terry Pace was roofing his sister-in-law's house. Up there on that roof, the Lord began to touch him over scripture. This was in 1993. He told his wife, Sister Tina, he said, Tina, go get my Bible. They climbed it up the ladder and up there on that roof. He got a message called Rooftop Experiences. Amen. Seeing on the roof. I remember it was like it's yesterday. That's the spirit living inside of me. Seeing on the roof was when David was on the rooftop instead of being in the battle, and he saw Bathsheba. Amen. Sporting on the roof. Where when they were on the rooftop making sport of Samson, that man, amen, who told his secrets. Amen. But boy, then it got to the scene on the roof. Amen. And all I knew is that I was a sinner that had just got saved. I got saved not owning a Bible. I didn't have a Bible with my name on it. The night I got saved, I still had Guns N' Roses and AC/DC and Lynyrd Skynyrd in my tape deck. My clothes closet wasn't right. I didn't have a suit or a tie, but God saved me anyway. Amen. Just as I am without one plea. Amen. But I didn't know much about church. I didn't know much about Gentiles and Jews. But that night, he got that scene on the roof where that old Jew preacher, amen, just couldn't hardly see that God had brought in a new tribe, amen. And he showed that fowl and the beast of there and the sheet let down. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. Old Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Brother Jay, I didn't know I was a sinner. I didn't know I was a dog. I didn't know none of that. I knew I was a sinner, but not a Gentile and a dog. But boy, he got Christ on the cross that night and that veil of the temple rent in twain. And then thus, without strain, without hope in this world, according to Ephesians 2. Now we can step on the drops, thank God, from the branch of hyssop that our Savior Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. When y'all sang a while ago, there was a word there talking about that flow from Emmanuel's veins. I thought, hallelujah to his name. I've been washed in that flow, amen. But this old sinner, Gentile dog, amen, I found out that I had a high priest. I never knew I needed one. I found out about the mercy seat. I never knew there was one, amen. But I found out, thank God, that our forerunner, Christ Jesus, went in behind it. I could follow his coattails, you and I can, and go all the way to the throne of grace. Amen. When he got to that part, amen, all I know is I wound up in the back of the church. Amen. He was running laps around the church. This side was on this side. Brother Dwayne Martin was staggering across the church house. I'm not charismatic, Brother Jay. It's just so. And ran into the wall and just crumbled down. I tried to sit down and couldn't. Amen. I tried to find lost control of my legs. I told Brother Pace, I said, I don't know what happened. I said, but my legs quit working. He said, son, a lot of folks' legs quit working tonight. He said, that's why you got to have a glorified body. He said, thank God, this whole body can't take that much, God. But all that was a taste. All that was, thank God, was just a nugget, amen, of what God's got for me and you down the road. You just wait for it. Amen. It's been like torment. Down through the years, I know what happens here at Merville. You can't be God's children and he not give you a glimpse of what he's going to do for us. Just enough, Brother Darren, to keep us in ties, to keep us yearning. Amen. I got to move on. I'm sorry. For I reckon, well, I got word. I reckon. That means you're just not real sure about the comparison. How can he be sure about the comparison? We're talking about glorification here. Nobody's ever experienced that before. But he says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And Brother Jay, he draws this comparison to the sufferings of this present time. But he turns around and says, there's no comparison at all. He says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy. Don't you even utter them in comparison and say, I've suffered here such and such. Yes, then glorification must equal my suffering. Yeah. Oh, no. It's not even worthy to be compared.
That's right.
Brother Jay, I've suffered. I buried my first wife at the age of 21. After a 2-year marriage with cystic fibrosis, we had a child that never made it to term. My wife and I now, we buried our second child, our son at 4 months old, born with multiple birth defects. My daughter has titanium rods from right here to right here, born with a tethered spinal cord, severe scoliosis. It's just been one trial after the other. I'm 49 years old, and all I know is suffering down through my life. Oh, but Brother Jay, as painful as it's been, as hard as it's been to walk this road, the Apostle Paul says it ain't even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. If all this pain and sorrow ain't worthy to even be talked about, then my dear brethren, and tonight what God has waiting for me must be something extraordinary special. Amen. I can only think of what it's going to be like to lay this body aside. I don't know about you, but I'm tired. Amen, I'm tired. There's spiritual oppression. Every morning that we wake up out there, God's people are tired. Pastors are tired of fighting flesh. I'm tired of fighting flesh. Oh, help me, Lord. Amen. I'm tired of having to pray up here to get into a place that God can use us to walk out that door and face that old man again. Thank God. I'm tired, thank God, of waking up in the morrow, of keeping integrity on the job and carrying my witness for the Lord, of having to fight me and fight the world and fight everything that's out there. I'm tired, Brother Jay. Oh, but I want to tell you, children of God, how many of you are tired tonight and long for a change? I'm here to tell you our best days are ahead. Our best days are on the horizon when God comes to take his children home. Whatever you've been through in life, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Oh, not around us. That ain't what he said. He didn't say, my dear brother, what's going to be going on around us. I could understand that, couldn't you? That there's glory going to be going on around us. But that ain't what it says. It says there's going to be glory within us. Woo. Apostle Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery.
Yes, sir.
We shall not all sleep, but we shall. We shall all be changed. Yes. Amen. Our change is coming.
Yes,
our change is coming. Why? Not just to liberate us from this body so that we can enjoy our glorification with Christ.
Yes.
Being made like Christ.
Yes.
Oh, it's almost inconceivable.
Yes.
It's almost unthinkable. It's unimaginable that we're going to be made like him.
That's right.
Amen. When I see them smite him on the face, Brother Darren, I don't know if I could let a man smite me and not try. I hope I could, Brother Jay, and not try to smite back. Most of us can't even let nobody turn, amen, cut us off on the road without blowing the horn. But Christ would have said, amen, be kind to them that spitefully use you, amen. Oh, friend of mine, to see Christ, amen, go to the cross and be hung there. This is what glorification looks like, amen. And cry, pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. To have love like that and a heart like that I have not yet been able to find it quite like that, amen. Oh, but when God gets done with us, when the revelation of his glory with Christ takes place, amen, we will be just like him. Everything he is, all that he is, all that heaven has, all that heaven has will be ours. And we'll be like him. My dear brother, I don't know what that's like. But I'm hoping for it. It's nothing you've ever seen before. So just flush every good meeting you've ever thought you've been in, because you ain't ever seen it before. Because you don't hope for things that you've seen. Amen. Amen. You don't hope for things you've seen. Then why do you need to hope for them? Amen. The greatest pinnacle to most Christianity is a shout meeting. Brother Jay, that's shallow to this old boy. I like to shout. That's just getting tuned up in this old body. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It's just showing us what God can do when he can quicken the mortal body. But it lasts about that long. There's no great super Christians. I used to think there were. There's nobody that's conquered this outward man. There's nobody. I made a mistake one time hunting a recipe for glory. Picked out my heroes. That was a mistake. You say, why? Because I found out that they had bad kids. And at one point in time, one of my most spiritual men I knew told me when he got saved, he ran his wife off. She wasn't saved. And said he was going to impose everything that God had done for his heart in one night without her being saved. But then he says, I had to go back. God got through with me. I had to go beg her to come back home. It was years before God saved her. And I thought, I wish you hadn't told me that, Brother Earl. He's still the greatest, most spiritual man I've ever known. But I found out that there's a chink in the armor. Oh, Brother Leo Whitaker, that cranker at our church, World War II veteran's gone now. He's got one son that's lost as a God-hater, one daughter that's shacking up with men. Amen. I would have thought that there was some way to conquer something, that somebody's got this. Let me tell you something, friends of mine, nobody has achieved control of all. It's by grace and grace alone that any of us, the Apostle Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. If it weren't for God's grace, there's no telling what all of us would be doing around here tonight. Amen. Therefore, we won't change. Amen. For we know that the whole creation groaneth, travaileth in pain together until now. Together. You're just like me. I'm just like you. This preacher's just like me. This pastor is just like me. I'm just like them. We have our struggles. We have our shortcomings. And I understand the great apostles cry, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? But we don't fear. We hope. For we are saved by hope. Not our soul, but our mind, our bodies. The creature saved by that hope, what we have never seen. Then he says, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. You just wait, church.
Yes, sir.
I don't even know if the word better even suffices. There's a glorious day. But even then, Brother Darren, what do you mean by glorious day? I don't know. I'm having to hope just like you are.
That's right.
That's why most granny ladies of yesteryear used to testify about going home and being with the family. We'll all be whatever that they could imagine eternal bliss would look like, they would call out. Is that telling it, Brother Sims? No. My grandmother Colquitt was poor, widowed at 40, 10 children, one in the grave, never had a driver's license, never drove. Lived off commodities and welfare. Her kids took her to the Smoky Mountains. One time she put her foot in the creek and she said, this must be what heaven's going to be like. In her mind, that was the greatest moment, I guess, she had ever had in her life. I got a picture of that I cherished. My mom gave me, and she pulled her dress up just enough and that old grin, you know, between them glasses. She said, this must be what heaven's going to be like. She had a struggle all of her life, and I look back now, and she was She was not trying to belittle glorification, but in her mind of what she had experienced in this world, she said, this is the greatest experience, most peaceful experience. Well, I can't wait. Amen. I can't wait. She was looking for a river. But what she didn't know was what God was going to do in her. Amen. And what was going to be revealed in her. It's not our surroundings that we long for. It's to be made like unto Him. Oh, hallelujah to His name. It's to be made like Him. Amen, Brother Jay. That's all I have. Just wait for it. Woo.
Bless you all. Look. Thank you for letting me come.
I had a boy. Can I say this? I'm sorry. I had a boy born with a cleft palate. No palate. He had no walls in his heart. He had no four chambers. It was just one big hole. He was missing the radius in his arm. He had more wrong with him than right bones. The doctor says that I can't even describe all that's wrong with him at birth. Just imagine that. But I tried my feeble mind to keep from going crazy thinking about a child that one day I'll see him being as whole.
Yes.
But the best that I can put together, Brother Jay, is being whole is with bones.
Yes, sir.
And being able to talk like we talk.
Oh, yeah.
It's far greater than that.
Yeah, we've seen that. Yes, sir.
When God changes mortality.
Yes.
To immortality.
Yes.
When death is swallowed up in victory.
Hallelujah.
That victorious power that brought Christ out of the grave on the third day.
Yes, sir.
Oh, what a display of power that's going to take place in us and to us with our Savior Christ Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You just wait for it.
That's right. Some of y'all need to pray tonight. Get in the arms of the Lord. Looking forward to that time. Just wait. They're going to sing this. I was going to get them to sing it during the